Dear audience, I am Kirti Tuladar. Today is the 10th of March 1997 at Sakya Singha Vihara, Thainatol, Lalitpur, Kathmandu, Nepal. The Venerable Bhikkhusunanda Putuwar is going to give us speech on the similarities and differences between Theravada and Mahayana Buddhism. I have a pleasure to say a few words about him. The Venerable Bhikkhusunanda is executive member of all Nepal Bhikkhu Mahasangha and has been fully ordained Buddhist monk for over 2 decades. He received a doctoral degree in philosophy from the American University, Washington, D.C., USA in 1988. He was born on 6th of April 1946 in Banipa, Nepal. He is the middle son of Mr. Kazi Bahadur Putuwar and Dirgamaya Putuwar. The Venerable Bhikkhusunanda Putuwar earned a Bachelor of Arts in Philosophy degree from Mahamukut Buddhist University in Bangkok, Thailand in 1978. He also obtained a Master of Arts in Philosophy degree from Banaras Hindu University, India in 1981, and a Master of Theological Studies degree from Harvard University at Cambridge in the Republic of Massachusetts, USA in 1984. Bhikkhusunanda Putuwar has authored several books such as Karma, Indiwari in Buddhist Era 2525, Shishtachar, Social Etiquette in Newari in Buddhist Era 2525, Nepal, Constitution and Religion, A Question of Religious Liberty, published in Nepal in 1991. The Buddhist Sangha, Paradigm of the Ideal Human Society, published by University Press of America, Maryland in 1991. Mental Phenomena and Meditation, published. The Application of Buddhist Ethics to Social Policy, unpublished. Buddhism in the United States of America, Conflict and Convergence, unpublished, and numerous articles on Buddhist subjects published. Dr. Bhikkhusunanda Putuwar founded Siddhartha University in 1991 in the District of Columbia, the United States of America. Dr. Putuwar is a teacher and frequently interprets Buddhism to a wide variety of audiences. Currently, he is working for the restoration of Theravada Buddhism in Nepal, the birthplace of Lord Buddha. Venerable Sir, please come here and give us a speech. Thank you.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. I pay homage to the Buddha, the self-enlightened one. Dear venerable sirs, ladies and gentlemen, I am very happy today to have this opportunity to address to you all. Now, my topic to discuss here is the similarities and differences between Theravada and Mahayana, which is as follows. Shakyamuni Buddha who lived circa 623 BC to 543 BC, was born as a prince at Lumbini in Nepal. He attended enlightenment at age 35 in Bodh Gaya. He expounded most of his teachings in northern India. All his teachings are collected in numerous columns and are called Buddhism. Theravada and Mahayana are two major branches of Buddhism, just like Catholicism and Protestantism in Christianity. Under each of these two branches, there are many sub-branches of Buddhism, each having a variety of practices. Each branch has a large body of scriptures and a vast number of followers. It is therefore not possible to delineate here all the similarities and differences between them. This speech will address only their general or major features. The subtle and minor ones are left for the audience yourself to investigate. There was no Mahayana nor Theravada sect in the time of the Buddha. All the teachings of the Buddha were recognized as Buddha Sasana, Buddhism, according to Buddhist history. But sectarian views came into being soon after the Buddha's passing away. Even up to the Second Buddhist Council, held in 5th century BC, there was no mention of a sect. The records show the existence of Pali teachings only. About the beginning of the Christian era, a new trend took shape in Buddhism. C. Edward Kuhn's A Short History of Buddhism, page 44. The promulgation of a Sanskritic text eventually culminated in the identification of two distinct Buddhist traditions. One, the doctrine or teaching expounded by elder monks, properly called Theravada, and two, the tradition or teaching encompassed by the Sanskrit text, which was named by the Sanskrit writers the Mahayana or Great Vehicle. The different views of the expounders of each body of scriptures created denominations, the followers of which have taken those views for granted. However, both Theravada and Mahayana denominations worship the same Buddha and practice his teachings. During the reign of Emperor Ashoka of India, 3rd century BC, Buddhism spread wide and abroad. He sent Buddhist missionaries to Sri Lanka, Nepal, Suvarnabhumi, Southeast Asia to spread Pali Buddhism. Later, others went to northern area China, via Central Asia, and spread Sanskrit Buddhism. For more than two millennia, the two denominations of Buddhism grew in substantial isolation from one another. Given the geographical separation of their practitioners, the occasions for interaction between them were few. This circumstance allowed walls of ignorance and prejudice to rise up between these groups. Today, one can geographically identify China, Hong Kong, Japan, Korea, Mongolia, Taipei, Taiwan, Tibet, Vietnam, and the greater part of Nepal as Mahayana Buddhist countries. Burma, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Singapore, Sri Lanka, Thailand, Nepal, the smaller part, and some parts of India as Theravada Buddhist countries. In recent decades, both Mahayana and Theravada Buddhism have been spreading in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, North America, and some parts of Africa. The World Fellowship of Buddhists, founded in 1950, brings together adherents of various denominations in biennial conferences. In the pages of the WFB Review, The Middle Way, and other publications, Buddhists from all parts of the world offer their intellectual and spiritual insights. Under the modern education system, science and communication technologies, objective comparative study is becoming more and more important in our academic communities in both the East and the West. All Theravada scripture is in Pali language, which was spoken in the Indian subcontinent in the time of the Buddha. It is interesting to note that there are no philosophies or texts available in Pali other than the Theravada Buddhist text called Tipitaka. Therefore, the term Pali Buddhism is used as a synonym of Theravada Buddhism. Theravada Buddhists and many others hold to the idea that the Buddha preached all of his teachings in Pali in and around northern India and Nepal during the last 45 years of his life. All early Mahayana Buddhist texts are in Sanskrit and are known as Tripitaka. Therefore, the term Sanskrit Buddhism is used as a synonym of Mahayana Buddhism. Sanskrit is the classical and the oldest language spoken by the literate elites of India. In Sanskrit, besides Mahayana Buddhism, we find many Indian historical records and religious or philosophical texts of other traditions. In general, monks of both Theravada and Mahayana branches of Buddhism could not devote much time to studying outside their own tradition. Thus, although they knew very little of other tradition, they apparently kept memorizing their own traditional sacred scriptures. This was definitely the case in Theravada Buddhism. Part of the reason for not studying each other's traditions is that each denomination has its own vast number of sacred scriptures. The scriptures of the two denominations put together would fill approximately three sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Another reason is the obvious psychological phenomena that one holds dearer one's own tradition. Finally, the main purpose of most monks in these traditions was practicing, not preaching. For all these reasons, only a very few scholar monks expended their time and energy to open their eyes to other than their own tradition. Practitioners of Mahayana worship the Shakyamuni Buddha and various Bodhisattvas, Examples: Maitreya, Avalokiteshvara, or Kuan Yin. Mahayana, especially Tibetan, worships all primordial or Adi Buddhas, such as Amitabha, Vairocana, Akshadhyaya, Amoghasiddhi, and Ratanasambhava. Tantra and mandala practices belong to Mahayana tradition, Tibetan. While Theravada does not ignore the presence of various spiritual beings in the cosmos, its practitioners worship only the historical Buddhas, especially the Sakyamuni Buddha. Theravada does not worship the Bodhisattvas, although these are given much respect for their great wisdom and compassion. Spirit worship is prevalent in Mahayana temples, particularly in those countries heavily influenced by Chinese culture. It is not popular in Theravada countries, except to some extent in Thailand. In the Mahayana temples, worshippers keep pictures and relics. Example, ashes after cremation of their deceased family members. These relics are then used as focuses for prayer and veneration. Mahayana Buddhists offer incense, flowers, candles, fruits, and food, and literally worship the spirits of the deceased persons. This tradition keeps alive the memories of deceased family members. Pali suttas are recited in Theravada temples, whereas Sanskrit scriptures are read in Mahayana temples. In addition to Pali and Sanskrit, vernacular languages such as Burmese, Chinese, Japanese, Newari, Thai, etc. are used depending upon individual followers' culture. On the whole, Mahayana temples are lavishly and beautifully decorated with colorful paintings, statues, and other ornamentation. Theravada temples are usually simple and far less decorated than Mahayana ones. Similarly, Mahayana rituals are far more richly textured and stimulating to the senses than are the Theravada practices. All Buddhist temples contain various sacred symbols, most notably the statue of the Sakyamuni Buddha. In addition, candles, flowers, and incense are usually present both as offerings and as physical symbols of various religious principles. Example, flowers for anicca or impermanence. Also, common to both denominations are the Buddhist flag, pictorial representations of the Buddha, the Bodhi tree, and begging bowl. In the Mahayana temples, one finds various other sacred symbols, which are also viewed as spiritual instruments. These include wooden fish, dragons' heads, urns, bells, wooden drums, and so on. With the exception of bells and drums sometimes present in Buddhist temples in Thailand, one can hardly find such objects or religious instruments in Theravada temples. As a result, the Theravada rituals are less complex than Mahayana ones. Tibetan monks wear dark brown or crimson color robes fitted to their bodies in China, Korea, Taipei, Taiwan, etc. The monks wear the saffron robes. Vietnamese Mahayana monks daily wear Ao Tran, brown robes, and Ao Lok Bin, informal or working clothes. And on formal occasions, they wear Ao Lao, inner ceremonial robe, and Ya Ka Sa, or Ya Hao, outer ceremonial robe. Novice monks wear Ao Nuk Bin, brown or sky-colored clothes. These are vivid saffron robes with slightly different styles. Theravada monks usually wear Chivara and Antarvasaka, two-piece long draped robes. On more formal occasions, the Sangati, a long, neatly folded cloak, is added over the left shoulder. They can be saffron color, three-bark color, reddish, or crimson color. In Japan, Buddhist priests wear white robes with a small ceremonial piece of saffron robe on the top of the white. Adherents of Theravada Buddhism aim to attain nirvana by becoming an Arahanta saint. Theravada holds that an Arahant is the ultimate life, after which there is no rebirth for that individual. Mahayana holds that there will be rebirth for an Arahanta, such as Sariputta, Moggallana, and other saints, and also holds that Buddha nature is inherent in all sentient beings. Usually, Mahayana aims for the achievement of Buddhahood by following Bodhisattva path, while Mahayana views the Bodhisattva as an enlightened being. Theravada holds that the Bodhisattva is not yet an enlightened being. For the individual adherents, Theravada places greater emphasis on the cultivation of wisdom, understanding, and realization than on belief or compassion. By contrast, the Mahayana emphasis is more on belief and compassion than on realization, understanding, and wisdom. Despite these differences of emphasis, both denominations do accept all these virtues and many more as essentials of the teachings of the Buddha. Pure Land Buddhism, a branch of Mahayana, promotes of salvation by faith. Lotus Sutra supports this doctrine. One is at pains to find a corresponding belief in Theravada. There are large numbers of celibate monks in both Theravada and Mahayana traditions. According to Theravada history, however, the community of fully ordained nuns, the Bhikkhuni Sangha, was extinguished by a variety of causes in India and in other parts of the world about 500 years after the passing away of the Buddha. There are now no Bhikkhuni nuns in Theravada tradition except 10 precepts holders or Anagarika nuns who are not fully ordained. By contrast, Mahayana holds that the Bhikkhuni Sangha was never extinguished from the world. Hence, there are Samaneri novice nuns and a Bhikkhuni Sangha community or order of fully ordained nuns in the Mahayana tradition. Some people believe that Mahayana is more for lay followers, while Theravada is more for recluses or monks. Some Mahayana priests in Tibet and most priests in Japan marry and have family life. Most Mahayana clergy in other parts of the world, such as China, Korea, Vietnam, Taiwan, etc., are monks, therefore celibate. All Theravada monks are also celibate. A few minor differences in practice exist. The majority of Mahayana monks are vegetarians, but it is common for them to eat food after midday. By contrast, the majority of Theravada monks will eat meat with their breakfasts or lunches. They, however, generally abstain from eating any food after midday. The monks of both denominations have good reasons rooted in the history of their traditions and the cultures of their adherents for doing or not doing certain things. In both Nikayas or sects, the lay followers financially support the temples. In Theravada, lay followers bow down before the monks and the monks bless them, murmuring, "May you be happy, living long, etc." The Theravada monks do not, however, return the ladies' greetings in the same fashion, not even by joining palms together. In Mahayana also, the lay people greet monks either by bowing down to them or by joining the palms together. But in this tradition, especially Vietnamese and Japanese, the majority of monks respond to the lay people with their palms joined together as a token of respect. Thus, the cultural differences that exist in the various countries of the adherents are apparent in the religious practices of the people. So far as actual moral practices go, there is very little difference between these two branches of Buddhism. For example, abstention from killing, stealing, lying, sexual misconduct, and intoxicants is the ideal of practice for the laity of both groups. Most other Vinaya rules are also similar. Where they differ, they express the richness of Buddhism's philosophy and or its many different cultures. Most lay followers of both Theravada and Mahayana are pure-hearted devotees. They think of the monks of both denominations as their spiritual masters. Nevertheless, because of their familiarity with the monks of their own tradition, whom they recognize by the style and color of their robes, the lay people feel more comfortable with their own masters. Still, there are instances in which pious lay people extend their generosity to monks of both denominations, at least to some degree. The devotees of one denomination do, at times, invite monks from both Mahayana and Theravada to their homes, feed them with sumptuous food, and obtain blessings in return. Such expressions of piety represent the ideal of Buddhist lay practice without indifferent or biased feelings toward any branch of Buddhism. The state of unity and pure-hearted thus expressed conforms to the actual teachings of the Buddha. Both Theravada and Mahayana Buddhists are peaceful and open-minded disciples of the Buddha, adherents of metta, or compassion and wisdom. To strengthen more harmonious affiliation between followers of these two major branches of Buddhism, we must understand and be willing to teach and study from each other's branches. In this way, we can dissolve the gaps in our knowledge. The monks or priests and lay leaders of both denominations must broaden their understanding and willingness to cooperate, work together for both spiritual and material assimilation, studying or learning more than their own traditions. At the present time, it is essential that we come together, work together, exchange our Dhamma dialogue, and attain Buddhahood or Nirvana. No matter what branch of Buddhism one follows, if one practices it well, one will receive a good result, knowledge of ultimate reality. To see the reality is to see the Buddha. He who sees my teaching sees me, said the Buddha. The world is growing smaller due to developments in science and technology. As a result, practitioners and all scholars of the world religions are beginning to come together, at least for academic purposes. Many of those